passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome everybody to Post Pro Res. Welcome to Post Pro Res with Wei Ting. I have taken over the show. It's all going to be my opinions on All Japan Pro Wrestling, Noah, the Stardom Grand Prix, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi Pro. It's only going to be my opinions from this point forward. I have hijacked the show from John Pollock. And you know what? Just to kind of be nice, I brought WH along for the ride too. How are you doing, WH?
Wait, what's Wei Ting doing on this show? I was expecting John Pollock. You know, shout out to John Pollock, MDK, right?
John Pollock, he and I knew recruits into the MDK gang, courtesy of Brandon from New Jersey and Nick Gage. Yes, the cameo that has taken over the nation here. In fact, making news on Fightful for his comments about the pacemaker, Chris Jericho. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, everybody, go check it out on either our social medias or Brandon from New Jersey social media. A custom message from Nick Gage to us, John Pollock and Wei Ting himself. That was
how much money does that Brandon make?
Well, I don't know. How much do UPS drivers make?
I don't know. He must be getting some good money. Like he's always talking about spending money. You know what he just bought? He just bought like the absolute edition of Jack Kirby's Fourth World, which is a massive tome of like Jack Kirby goodness. I have it myself, but I got a staff discount at the store. He paid full price, I think. So like, this guy and he's getting you cameos. The hell?
I mean, a cameo for Nick Gage, I just looked it up, is only $25. Okay,
so you don't exactly. Never mind. Have to Never mind. But he couldn't shell out for I don't know, Dave Bautista or something like that. What a cheapskate.
Yeah, now I'm not that impressed actually. It's only $25 here. Huh? You think
Nick Gage would charge more? I would think he would charge more.
Well, after next week we shall see. But I feel like we've already run off enough of the people who typically listen to Post Pro Res for John Pollock's takes. Everybody, John Pollock, for those of you who only listen to Post Pro Res, he's been having a hell of a week, okay? His hot water heater broke, and from that comes a whole litany of things, especially when you have two children to raise. A little girl teething, first three teeth in little Evie's life, on top of having to deal with this hot water issue, structural damage to his place, and who knows what else. His whole world is falling apart. And so at like 7 p.m. Thursday night, everybody, I rarely, I almost never ever get a text from John or a call from John, phone call from John. He called me. He called me today and says, is there a... I thought he was going to call me to talk about the Nick Gage thing. So I was like all ready for like a fun conversation here coming up with John Pollock. No, it was a very somber John Pollock who had to tell me that the next big thing has happened with his in regards to this water heater issue. He didn't even tell me what. And so he asked me to take over just to lead this Pros Pro Res today with WH Park. So I'm only here to serve up these topics and these notes that John Pollock has already worked so hard to type up here. And you are going to get, of course, your expert analysis as you expect from WH Park. Is that okay with you, WH?
Yeah, we can also talk about Kang. No.
That's our usual Thursday lineup here for MCU later. But, you know, the MCU is taking a bit of a break right now. So we're here to talk about the closest thing to Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. It's Japanese wrestling, isn't it?
Sure. You're completely correct about that way. And I have nothing else to add to that topic, except I completely 100% agree with you. You see my tweet? You know, did you see, just to, before we get into the Japanese wrestling, did you see, I tagged you in the tweet of like, someone went and like time coded, right? The finales, yeah, to both WandaVision and fucking Loki. And yes, at 27:30 of each finale, like they matched like the Scarlet Witch becoming fully empowered to when like Kang or He Who Remains says, it's happened. We've crossed the threshold that, and here's the thing. I made fun of that because as soon as I saw that, I fired up my Disney Plus. I went to 27:30 of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Okay, what happens then? Nothing. It's just him
WH, are you sure they didn't go back and re-edit it? You know, or did you make sure that all the sparkles and they didn't add a special spec that might be Doctor Strange in there?
No, because I'm not re-edit. A fucking loser. So I didn't do that, actually.
You know? But you did go back and double check to make sure that this,
because I had to make a funny tweet making fun of this, so I couldn't do that without doing some research. I doing research and checking your, you know, check dotting your I's, crossing your T's is not the same as checking, ooh, is there some added sparkle? Maybe that's Doctor Strange's cape in the end of the finale. I don't know, because I have no life. You know,
it's if only people would maybe give so much scrutiny to, you know, professional wrestling, and maybe some of these events that we're about to talk about do deserve that level of scrutiny. As I try to steer this ship back the way John Pollock would, of course. Let's start things off, WH, with New Japan Pro Wrestling. A lot is happening this coming several weeks in New Japan, starting with the lineup for Wrestle Grand Slam taking place this Sunday, as I should have brought it up right here before doing the show. But anyway, WH Park, very quickly, before we maybe get into the full card, I have it right here, trust me. Shall we start from the opening match here? We have a King of Pro Wrestling 2021 match and a New Japan Rambo with handcuffs, WH. Tell us your prediction.
I feel this match is already handcuffed by the inclusion of the King of Pro Wrestling meme comedy bullshit gimmick match stipulation that's added to it. And then they're going to, number of entrants will be announced at a later date. You know how it's all like meant to be comedy shit? I hope it's just one wrestler wrestling himself with handcuffs on, and that would be Toru Yano.
Ooh, okay. That'd be an interesting match. Wrestling himself with handcuffs on.
With handcuffs, what does that mean? Like, everyone's wearing handcuffs? I have no idea what this fucking means.
I have no idea either. And you know, I'm somebody who really has a sick curiosity when it comes to like some of these strange Toriano gimmicks. I will be interested. Yeah, I'm not gonna say I'm not interested. I am interested to see what they do, and not for one second do I expect the match to be any good though. And unfortunately, this is a promotion where I think people have less of a tolerance for the goofy. So I don't know if this is really catering to the fan base.
I don't even know why you're going to do something like this and make the show longer and have people stay in this building longer than you have to. I don't know. I don't even know why this show is happening. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe we could even start there before getting to the rest of the card, WH, because currently in Japan, we are going through the midst of course, terrible, terrible pandemic with, as of July 21st, 1,832 new cases of COVID-19 reported, which is a six-month high. Tokyo is under its fourth state of emergency that runs until August 22nd, directly taking place in the midst of the Olympics, which start, of course, tomorrow and then end on August 8th. So the Olympics will start in the midst of a state of emergency. And as of now, 23% are fully vaccinated in Japan. What is the latest WH that you have been hearing as far as, you know, COVID-19 in Japan?
Like, it's a mess. In Tokyo, it's a mess. Like, you know, if I was still in Numazu, right, I wouldn't worry so much about it, to be honest with you, because like the numbers in Numazu are always like pretty low. In Shizuoka, as a prefecture, weren't so bad. But like I was never going to go to Tokyo, never, until like this thing was halted. And I said, hey, no vaccine, no WH. I would not be vaccinated. Like, I'm vaccinated now. I'm fully vaccinated. Like, it kicked in. It's been more than 2 weeks since I got my second shot. So I'm good to go. You know, still wearing a mask, still following protocol, still being smart about things, but I'm good to go, right? I would not be like even close to my first shot if I was still there. Okay, that's bullshit.
What is the process of like getting vaccinated, and what is the holdup? You would say, is it the attitude or is it the infrastructure? What's going on?
The infrastructure, the lack of having enough vaccines to start, because like they wanted, the Japanese government wanted a Japanese pharmaceutical to develop their own vaccine so they could make money off of it, you know, like keep it in house, so to speak. And then like there's this weird attitude towards vaccines in Japan because of, you know, past instances with involving scandals and the such. And then, yeah, right now I think it's the infrastructure. I you know, most people I know who I still speak to in Japan aren't vaccinated and don't see, you know, both Japanese and foreigners, and don't see, you know, any kind of clear cut scheduled for when they're going to get vaccinated. Most people tell me, oh, maybe by October I'll get vaccinated. I'm like, that's crazy.
In your opinion, is it does it have anything to do with maybe hesitation regarding the vaccine?
Yeah, I was pointed towards a thread on Twitter, which like collated like all these Twitter comments from Japanese people who are like talking about, oh, my company wants me to get vaccinated. Is that power harassment? Is that them overstepping their reach? And I'm like, hey, my company offered to pay for my vaccine, or, you know, I would be like, hey, I like, here's another thing. I don't know if it's free or not, because like if you wanted to get tested, it was like $300 Canadian to get tested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
over there.
Tested.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't think the vaccine is going to cost anything, because I don't think the Japanese government is that stupid. I mean, they're pretty stupid, but they're not that stupid where they're going to charge people and put even more of a barrier up against people wanting to get vaccinated. But I mean, coming back to this idea, like the Olympics, I think they already caught people, you know, they already tested people coming into the country, and they already got people testing positive for COVID. So you add that whole mess, and then probably a lot of these athletes were hoping to, like, you know, explore Tokyo and Japan is like, and they're probably just been told stay in the village that we built for you. And there, I think you're going to see instances where people are going to be sneaking out, you know, going to like, you know, hey, maybe it's their only chance to ever come to Japan. Who knows?
Yeah. How are you going to be in Japan and not at least try to sneak out for a bowl of ramen? Like, for sure, there are people going to try to sneak out the Olympic Village. But I mean, they, you know, like the people associated with the Olympics are assuring that there's no way that any of these people will be able to leave. So, I mean, we shall see about that, honestly. But in the midst of all this, New Japan is holding their Wrestle Grand Slam inside the Tokyo Dome this Sunday on New Japan World. And as of now, WH, to add to the craziness that is the Tokyo, scene this time, the Tokyo pandemic, and New Japan specifically, we do not have confirmation of the main event occurring between Kota Ibushi and Shingo Takagi. As of course, this past week, Kota Ibushi was announced to have been diagnosed with aspiration pneumonia. He was taken off the three New Japan shows following the announcement, with his appearance at the main event for the Tokyo Dome to be determined. What was your reaction to this news, WH, and what do you think should happen?
I was just like, I felt so bad for Kota Ibushi. I don't care about the company. I feel so bad for Kota Ibushi because this guy has like been snake bitten with health problems this entire year, you know? And I just thought, then I looked up aspirations pneumonia and I'm like, whoa, this is pretty serious. Like he's pretty healthy looking dude, but like he could develop symptoms where he's like going on a respirator and things like that. I don't know. Like it depends like when he caught this, when he was diagnosed and when he started treatment, because it's like a cocktail of like antibiotics that one has to take and maybe get supportive help as well. Like that means like going to the hospital and getting put on like, you know, machines maybe to help you breathe and stuff like that. If I don't know if it's that serious, they're not saying obviously, but if he's even mildly sick, I would not put him in this match. I would, even if he wants to do it, I'd say, no, you can't do it. And what they're going to have to do is come up with a makeshift challenger. Like, and I don't know who that would be. I think all the tickets are already probably bought for this. Mm-hmm. And so
you cannot buy them anymore.
No.
Cut off sales. Yes.
They've cut off sales. So like anyone who's bought a ticket is probably going to go. You probably can't get your money back. So they're just going to go. So it doesn't really matter.
John brought up the idea that they should offer refunds the moment they change that main event. Don't you think that? I mean, isn't there a?
I think they legal? Should. There might be, yeah. But like, if they don't have to, they won't. Even if it looks bad, because the only
have
reason
you
they're running
that
these
before, like a specifically maybe even a New Japan show that might have changed its main event. I mean, this is somewhat unprecedented, especially when it comes to quote unquote a Tokyo Dome show.
But isn't like almost every live event, no matter what country, has that caveat card, you know, card subject change or event, you know, like unless it's a concert or something, you know, like the headliner, like, you know, if I went to go, see Oasis, if like Noel Gallagher, you know, not Oasis, I went to go see Noel Gallagher. If Noel Gallagher got fucking sick, they're not going to have the show still because he's the headliner. Right. So like there you can, okay, we're offering refunds to people, but like this show's still going to go on regardless of Kota Ibushi is the challenger, and they're still probably going to have a world title match. So they can say, well, we're not giving refunds. Like they can offer, but even with that way, I don't think people would take them up. I think people want to go out and do mm-hmm. stuff. So I think people would go, and I think they're probably intrigued. Oh, who might it be? Maybe it's going to be Tanahashi. Maybe it's going to be an outsider. Who knows what their tax is going to be, but they don't have much time. This is like going to be on Sunday. Their Sunday, which is like what our, Saturday, which is like 2-3 days from now. That's crazy.
Well, no doubt. I would assume that they've already had a backup plan in place before releasing this press release here for Kota Ibushi. And so who do you think are the biggest candidates? You brought up Hiroshi Tanahashi. He currently does not have a match on this card. You know, what are some other names that you could see?
Oh, God, Evil.
Oh, man. I would really consider, like, why would you go there when you have Tanahashi perfectly in place?
I mean, he's the best choice because he had what I considered a 5-star match with Takagi already, you know, for the NEVER title. So you have that built in story because he beat Takagi for the NEVER title. So it's like if Bushi can't do the match, then, you know, you insert Tanahashi, and it's easy to say, oh, I beat you before for a title and I'm going to beat you again for this title, which is my title. You know, like it writes itself.
Other than the main event, what we do know is happening is a IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match between Tetsuya Naito and Sonata, the champions, taking on Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi. We have an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match between the champion El Desperado taking on Robbie Eagles. We also have Jeff Cobb versus Kazuchika Okada, and an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match between Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo, the champions, taking on Rocky Romero and Ryusuke Taguchi. So it is, as of now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a 6-match show, including, of course, the New Japan Rambo for the KOPW trophy. What else stands out to you on this card?
The Okada Cobb match, I think they've had really good chemistry leading up to this match. And, you know, Cobb's pretty much on fire. I feel he's one of the more interesting acts going on in New Japan right now. So I'm very interested in seeing like the, not necessarily how the match is going to be, because I think the match will be good. I'm more interested in like how it's going to be booked in terms of like, okay, is Cobb going to keep his momentum? And is Okada going to do the job for him? Or are they going to start you know, building momentum for Okada to eventually make the challenge for the title at Wrestle Kingdom, which I think, it, you know, listening to other people, like I would think that that's his, the ultimate goal is to get him the title shot. He's probably going to win the G1 this year, and he's probably going to challenge Takagi, because I don't see Takagi losing the belt right now, because it would make absolutely no sense. He's actually brought some interest and stability to the company being the champion.
I totally agree. And I'm somebody who's really kind of fallen out of New Japan recently. And I look at this card, it's not really attractive at all. Like I feel all these matches are matches that I feel like I've seen several times already in the past. Even if I might not have, it just doesn't have that freshness and that excitement attached to them. I mean, we're talking about like Naito and Sonata taking on Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi. Like, I'm sure that'll be a great match, but it just does not. It's just not fresh. It just doesn't have that kind of special sparkle to it that you might expect for, you know, what is ultimately a Tokyo Dome show card. Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo versus Rocky Romero and Ryusuke Taguchi. I'm sure that'll be a great match. It just doesn't feel like it's a Tokyo Dome worthy show. And so, you know, we talk about maybe this card, and maybe we move on to maybe the next story here, because it was also recently announced that Hiromu Takahashi has been cleared to return after several months away from a torn pectoral muscle earlier this year. Do you anticipate that he might have a role on this show?
He'll definitely, you know, be showing up, whether it's to wrestle or not. Who knows? I don't know if they'll clear him for like, you know, this quickly. I'm assuming when he says he's cleared to like start training again and get back into ring shape. Cause like, obviously while he's got a torn pectoral muscle, he's probably not being able to go to the gym or anything like that. So, you know, so probably he'll show up.
It's a desperate time though. WH, can you see them at least having him join in for maybe a tag match or this Rambo, for instance?
Well, if he doesn't have to take a bump or anything, sure. No, but it's desperate times, but wait, you're not going to risk like someone who's as popular as he is getting injured again and being on the shelf again. Like I wouldn't risk it. I'd be like, yeah, just we here's the thing. This card is set. They've got the money. It doesn't matter. It's not needed. You know, my only concern and curiosity is it's a 6-match card. Right. Mm-hmm. And now recently, like to make up for like, you know, shorter cards, a lot of these matches on New Japan shows go like 30 plus minutes. I'm wondering if like the minimum we're going to see is 20 minutes from the shortest match on this show. And what is like the main event going to be? I think the main event is going to go 35 plus.
I think so too. Considering the circumstance, considering the venue. And if that is the case, I mean, I certainly don't want to see Kota Ibushi, like if he might be as, you know, ill or as I don't know, fragile as he might be coming off of what sounds to be a rather serious bout of aspiration pneumonia, a disease I didn't even know existed.
The thing is that you have to swallow something to get this.
What?
It's not like you get it from like a virus or bacteria. You have to swallow something that causes you to get this type of pneumonia.
Okay, it's like, so he ate something bad.
He ate something, or something went into his mouth by accident. And he swallowed it. Which is Kota Ibushi. Who knows? That's entirely possible.
I guarantee you. Maybe it was Caesarea.
He does like to eat there, I've been told. Yeah. Not that I blame him. I kind of miss Caesarea way, you know.
I like Caesarea too. Yeah.
All right. When we're all back in Japan at the same time, let's go back to Caesarea.
Let's go to Caesarea. Unless it comes out that, okay, this is aspiration pneumonia. We'll see how Kota Ibushi does, okay? And then we'll think about Caesarea. Alrighty. So that is the Tokyo Dome show. And, you know, afterwards, New Japan is not slowing down because they have an insane schedule. They finish off their Summer Struggle tour with an infinite number of shows taking place at Korakuen Hall. It seems like it's like every week they've got like three shows.
They're like, crazy.
What's going on here? What's the point of this?
They're trying to make up for lost revenue. That's the only explanation that I can see. They think in order to make money, we have to spend money by all the pay we have to give out to people, by all the rental fees we have to pay for these buildings, by all the travel costs we have to incur to get from Tokyo to Yokohama, to get to Osaka, to get to like Sapporo and stuff. It's nuts. But like what they're doing is just kind of like, you know, beating a dead horse, because like even their most ardent hardcore fans only have so much money in their wallets that they're going to spend on a fucking ticket to New Japan. You know, like, let's see. Okay, Sunday, August. Okay, Cork and Hall. Let's look at this. Okay, Saturday. Where does it start here? Okay, and I like how all this stuff is presented by Godzilla versus Kong. The movie Godzilla versus Kong presents Summer Struggle. Yeah, didn't Summer Struggle.
Didn't this movie come out like 2 months ago?
Yeah, no, Japanese release dates sometimes are like months behind North America.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was crazy. Okay, so Tuesday, July 27th. Friday, July 30th. These are all Cork and Hall, by the way. July 31st, August 1st, August 7th, August 8th, August 9th. Is this like a Broadway show?
It's crazy. It is a residence, yeah. Like in Las Vegas, yeah. They're doing 7 Cork and Hall shows in a row. They're going to Yokohama Budokan. They're going to Nagano, Shizuoka. And then they're back in Korakuen Hall for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows. So we're talking like 13 Korakuen Hall shows. I mean, you look at the schedule, and I have to think that they were banking on these Olympics having spectators, right, to book this many shows in one spot.
That's the thing. Like, you have to kind of think that. I think you're right there. Like, oh, we're going to have all these foreigners who are going to come in to watch Olympics. And, you know, when they're not, you know, they're not going to have tickets for every event. Okay, let's put on wrestling shows so that they can come see New Japan Pro Wrestling and maybe subscribe to New Japan World afterwards. But, you know, when life deals you some lemons way, they think they're making lemonade, but they're actually making a big pile of steaming piss.
So financially, WH, like these shows, how can they feasibly make money from these shows? Like, are these operating at a loss? Like, in your opinion, what do you think is happening here financially?
I have no access to their financials, but like my gut tells me, how can they be making money? Like, how many people, like if you're drawing 200, 300 people to your shows, and that's going to dwindle. Like, they've been doing this for like the last 4 months, having these multiple, you know, residencies at Cork and Hall. And you see, like, they start, you know, hemorrhaging fans in their attendance rates. But then, you know, like, you'll see, you know, Ryuki Pro or whatever fucking sleazy indie draw like double their number. And it's like, and then, you know, these companies take a victory lap. But it's like, hey, you didn't like, you know, like prostitute yourselves out to the point where like your customers can't afford to see you anymore. That's the problem. It's like they're people who probably want to go to these shows. Wait, I'm firm in the belief that there's a fair number of fans who want to go to every Cork and Hall show from New Japan on these tours. But they're just like, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I eventually still have to just even buy ramen, and ramen costs money too. Even the cheapest cup noodle fucking ramen costs money, and I don't have any more money for ramen. That's when I gotta say, you know what? I'm not going to this show.
You're making ramen at home.
Even that costs money.
You're not eating. You're starving.
That's right. So even the most hardcore Japanese wrestling fans for New Japan Pro Wrestling want to eat. They like food too, I'm sure. They want to still be able to go to Lawson's and get that great fried chicken there. Not the Cork and Hall chicken, which people say is amazing. It's okay. It's not bad. But Lawson's is way better. Trust me.
Well, in case you miss out on this Tokyo Dome show, in case you miss out on the 13 chances you have to catch New Japan Pro Wrestling at Korakuen Hall, they are putting on 2 more stadium shows in September. On September 4th and September 5th, a 2-night event in Saitama for Wrestle Grand Slam. So that is coming up. Man, like what can they possibly have in store for Wrestle Grand Slam? You have to imagine Hiromu having a big spot on that show.
I've been to this place. I was talking about this with John. I saw the G1 Climax Finals here, you know, in the middle of a typhoon. And you know what? September, sometimes there's typhoons.
Oh my. Wow. So that'll be the attraction, perhaps.
It's not easy to get their way. It's just from Tokyo alone, it's a pain in the ass. It's like an hour or so away by train. And it's a complicated train. It's not fun to get out there if you're taking a train.
So on that side of the world, New Japan seems to, you know, be putting on a lot of shows. We shall see how they do, and you'll probably find out as the weeks ahead. But over on this side of the pond, New Japan seems to be at least catching a bit more buzz because they are about to put on their resurgence show in Los Angeles, The Torch at La Coliseum on August 14th. We don't have a full card yet, but several names are scheduled to be take a place appearing on this. We have at least one match for the Never Openweight Championship. It's Jay White defending against David Finlay. We have Alex Coughlin in the Alex Coughlin Open Challenge Series taking on Carl Fredericks. We have a six-man tag between Rocky Romero, Fred Rosser, Wheeler Yuta taking on Ren Narita, Clark Connors, and TJP. And also scheduled to appear at the moment is John Moxley, the Good Brothers, Tom Lawler, Shota Umino, and many more. They're also advertising a special dark match at 7:30 that will not be broadcast. What is your level of interest for this show, and any ideas what the dark match might be?
Yeah, I'm pretty interested. I do think Strong is the best product that New Japan is putting out right now. It's not the best product that Bushiroad is putting out right now. That we'll talk about later. But from the New Japan brand, I think Strong is a consistent, good weekly wrestling product that's an hour. It's easy to watch. They have a consistent roster that shows up almost every week to put on matches. And it's not like the greatest roster ever, but it's a solid crew of people that they have that you know, and they build storylines amongst these people. And it's a fun thing. And as far as a dark match, it's obviously, come on, Wei, it's the forbidden door is going to be wide open. It's going to be Kenny Omega versus fucking Falaba from fucking Impact.
Falaba, wow, that's the name you draw out of that hat.
I just like saying Falaba because, like, when Davey Portman says Falaba, I'm like, you know what? That's a fun word to say. That's a fun name to say. Falaba.
Kenny Omega versus Falaba match. I have a sick curiosity again. Maybe they can add handcuffs to it.
Listen, if this happens, guess what's going to happen, Wei? I'm going to take a fucking victory lap on your left all day, every day.
You would be more than welcome to. That would be a very deserved victory lap. I'm certainly curious. And the fact that it's a dark match, I mean, you know, I certainly get my hopes up that it is perhaps somebody from AEW or from another promotion that kind of forbids them from broadcasting that match. That would certainly be really interesting. I mean, Kenny is...
I don't think it applies to Kenny. He's like on Impact TV, so...
Well, that is true. But, you know, Moxley, I mean, has appeared on Strong before, so that probably doesn't qualify him. So we shall see. We shall see who this would be. Currently, they have sold 1,800 tickets, according to WrestleTix, as of this was 5 days ago. So, you know, that number might be far higher right now. But capacity, again, according to WrestleTix, in that venue is 2,252 at the moment. So doing pretty well, I would say, that show.
They sold out their premium ringside, which are $300, you know. Wow. And the, like, P2, I'm looking at the information here. P2, this is like the next level after ringside, is $200, almost gone. The $100 tickets all sold out. The only thing that are left are like the $80, the $60, but all the $40 ones are almost gone. That's the one I would have gotten away.
How much buzz do you think, like, Strong is getting, you know, amongst the wrestling fan base right now?
I think the hardcores, the people who will make the time to try to not watch every week, but at least try to catch up every couple of weeks on Strong, like it and try to, you know, talk about it and try to promote it to like other wrestling fans that they know, because it's like, hey, you know, like, instead of watching that garbage on Monday Night Raw, like you can watch this pretty good program called, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling that exists in America. It's not bad. It's an easy, instead of 3 hours, it's only an hour, and it's an easy hour to devote to.
It's, you know, I feel obviously John Moxley is a huge draw for a show like this. Jay White being on the show is a big draw. And I also feel like they're probably taking advantage of, you know, a fan base that is really desperate for live events right now. And we're talking about LA, you know, rather underserved market. you know, when it comes to live wrestling from other companies right now. So this show is going to do well, and I'll definitely be watching it. Aside from that, back to Japan, and the G1 full schedule has been announced with several dates taking place from September 18th to October 21st. We start off with two nights in Osaka at Osaka Professional Gymnasium, and then ending at Sumo Hall in Tokyo for a two-night event. Any dates stand out to you here at WH, or any venues?
Unbelievably, they're only doing two dates in Korakuen Hall. No, not really.
Three, actually.
I think it's really telling that they're usually the middle of the tour of the G1 is in Osaka. But they're starting it off in Osaka, probably because they want to get like a hot, you know, like, I mean, I don't know how hot you're going to get with the crowd being clap crowds, but you know, like Osaka is the biggest market for New Japan outside of Tokyo. It's where their most dedicated and most like hardcore fan base exists. So I guess they want to kind of reward them by having what is traditionally like, you know, like some of the best matches tend to sometimes be at the beginning of the G1 climax.
They're also running Tokyo dry like the month
before. Oh yeah. It's interesting though. Like I'm looking at the schedule. So they start 18th and 19th in Osaka, and then they go back to Tokyo, which is, I don't know if you've done this trip on the Shinkansen, you know, way, like from Tokyo to Osaka. It's about 6 hours, you know, like
not
like
direct. No. Yeah.
So, and then they're going to go back to Kansai, to Kobe for one show.
Wow. Weird.
And then they're going to come back to Tokyo, back to Korakuen Hall for two nights. And then they're going to go to Hamamatsu, which from Tokyo, and I assume this is all going to be on the Shinkansen, the bullet train. Because like taking the bus there, it is just like, that's tough on your crew, on the wrestlers traveling that way. But then they're going to go to Hamamatsu, which is like the western end of Shizuoka. So from Numazu, so it's an hour, Tokyo to Numazu by Shinkansen, it's an hour. From like Numazu to Hamamatsu Station, it's like almost three hours. It's easier for me to go to Tokyo than it is to Hamamatsu. So then add another hour or so from Tokyo. So it's like a 4 hour bullet train ride, 3 to 4 hour bullet train ride from Tokyo to Hamamatsu for one day. And then they're going to go to Nagoya. They're going to go to Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium. And then they're going to crack to Tokyo. They're just going back and forth, way. It's crazy.
So, I mean, you know, they'll likely do the same thing as last year. Well, they'll split the crews, and not every crew is going to have to do every day, right? You know,
no, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe some of these will be a bit more direct, but nonetheless, like, they're doing double dates in Tokyo, like, in between several of these dates. So these crews are presumably, most of them will have to go back and forth of this very weird schedule. But... yeah, we shall see. It seems like it's a whole lot of travel up ahead for this crew.
I will say this though, you know, like I like the idea that the G1 is in the fall. I think it's so much better to do that. And like if they continue doing this and they're gonna have like the finals happen in late October, you know what? Forget you and John have already done Wrestle Kingdom. Future trip to Tokyo or to Japan, let us do the G1 climax if it's in the fall.
You know, that would be wonderful. I would be totally down for that. You know me, any excuse to go to Japan, I'm happy to. If John Pollock can, number one, fix the water heater situation, and if he can happen to get that time off from the family, then, you know, he's in a different situation than I am, of course. So I would love to make that trip again.
I will join you and Pauline on the food tour as well. As much as possible.
I know she'd be down. Absolutely.
Okay, here's the thing I will throw in to entice you, Wei and Pauline, is we're going to make a side trip to Numazu, and I'm going to call up my friends in Numazu, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm bringing some friends. Let's have an authentic Japanese barbecue.
So like, down for that.
Okay, yeah, like not at a restaurant. We're going to get our own grill set up. We're going to buy all the meat and vegetables. We're going to have yakisoba to finish everything off. Like sweet tofu, like sweetened tofu for dessert, the whole shebang. That's what I'm going to offer as an incentive.
And we'll podcast about it afterwards.
Yes.
You know, a special edition of Post-Pro-Res. A food review. That's the one thing you're missing. You've got the Marvel thing down. You've got the Japanese wrestling down. I think we need a food podcast from UWH.
Wait, what do they call that? Mukbang?
We need a mukbang from UWH. Wait, yes.
And you like food too?
I'm a huge food fan, but I don't know if I could talk about it the way you might. But that's for a different time. So that really is the New Japan situation for the month. And let's move on here to All Japan Pro Wrestling. And this is where WH, I'm really just going to let give the floor to you to kind of discuss. Because today, WH, did you know that Jake Lee made his first defense against Shotaro Ashino in front of 709 fans at Korakuen Hall? I didn't.
I haven't watched the show yet, but I did know that happened. And yeah, just talking about Jake, I glad he kept the title. Like, I'm a huge fan. By the way, it's Shotaro Ashino. You got to put the accents and the stress right on the certain syllables there. But that's either here or there. But you know, this goes for some of the people like who I listen to on podcasts pronouncing Japanese names. You're putting the accent on the wrong part of the name, you know. Anyways, they had
noted.
I'll give you guys like, you know, I had to correct Braden about Hideki Suzuki. You know, I say it's Hideki, not Hideki. And he was like, oh, thank you. I'm like, you're welcome. Anyways.
Well, I mean, did you know it's Wating and not Waiting?
Hey, listen, you, when I met you, you said, hey, I'm Wei, you're WH. This was in Grady's. So you not say your name was Wa. Listen, don't try to cover for that knobhead, you know?
No, he said it right. That's the traditional pronunciation.
He's not going to come and cut your throat if you out him as being a knobhead. Okay,
if
don't worry
Nick
about
Gage
it.
Nick Gage wants to pronounce it that way. That's the new way it's pronounced from now on.
Oh my god. Anyways, yes, 700. Here's the most important thing about that, about what you just said, Wei. 709 fans came and paid money to see this show at Korakuen Hall because All Japan does not endlessly run shows there and like, you know, try to drain their fans of all the money in their pockets in Tokyo. And that's a good thing. I actually saw the results of this show. I'm going to watch it. I'm very interested in, I think Ashino and Lee have great chemistry with one another. I haven't heard about how good it was. So, but I'm excited to watch it, but also Francesco Akira, who just won the junior title at the last big show away. He lost the title to Suki, who's an outsider. And I'm just like, why? Well, here's the thing. Suki, he's a freelancer. He's not gonna suffer too many losses. I'm sure it was probably like, hey, if you want me to be more in your shows, I want to get the title. And, you know, that's too bad because I think Francesco Akira is a great, you know, representative of the company. And I think he's done wonders during his time during the pandemic living in Japan. So hopefully he'll get another shot at the title. Hopefully he'll get the title back in the future. But overall, this looks like a really, really fun card, and I can't wait to watch it sometime probably this weekend.
Okay, if you want to find out other results, we do have all of that at postwrestling.com from John Pollock's update earlier today. Over to Noah, we have now Michi Mirafuji taking on Kazushi Sakuraba on August the 1st. Daisuke Harada and Hajime Ohara taking on Yuya Susumu and Seiki Yoshioka for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles. This will be live on Fight TV with English commentary. Any thoughts on this, WH?
Well, they just announced that two of my favorite wrestlers, Yohei and Hayata, formerly the Rattels, they were all in the Rattels together. You know, everyone knows how much I love the Rattels, are going to have a GHC Junior Heavyweight title match. That was just decided like earlier today. And also, get this, Kaito Kiyomiya and who's his partner? I got to look this up. Kaito Kiyomiya and a partner are going to take on the amazing team of Keiji Muto and his biggest fan, the Booker of Pro Wrestling Noah, Nosawa Rangai. And people want to know, why did a guy in his 60s with no knees win the heavyweight title in Pro Wrestling Noah? Well, that's because his biggest mark, Nosawa Rangai, is the booker of Pro Wrestling Noah. So I'm excited to see Nosawa Rangai live out his biggest dream, and that's a team with his hero, Keiji Muto, And I'm sure a match with Kishimoto is going to win.
Is this, you know, a more appropriate spot for Kishimoto to you?
Yes. It's where you put a guy with no knees. It's like not in your title scene, but within the confines of a special attraction match where he doesn't have to, especially a tag match where he doesn't have to like do anything. He was talking about he did the moonsault recently, right? A couple of months ago in one of his title defenses. And he said his doctor was angry with him because he says, you almost like destroyed not only your knees, but your hips. And you would be crippled for life if that happens. So don't ever do it again. And so he says, I'm re-retiring the moonsault, which is something he should have retired 22 years ago. But that's neither here nor there.
Do you think that's the last moonsault he's ever done?
No, because he's a wrestler.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Also, before that, on July the 28th, we have the Congo Mystery Show that'll also feature English commentary on Wrestle Universe. What is the Congo Mystery Show, WH?
Well, Congo is the faction of all the guys wear red, and it's led by Kenno, Mr. Angry himself, as I like to call him. And it's what they call a produce show way. Like, you know, certain people will have, you know, I'm going to put together a show. I'm going to be the producer. And sometimes a unit, a faction will have a produce show. And this is the Congo produce show. It's a mystery show. All the matches will be announced on the day of. And I think they did this gimmick before, but you know, it's whatever. I'm sure they'll have some variation of Masakidemiya versus Katsuhiko Nakajima on this show, probably in a tag match or something. And yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's going to be on Wrestle Universe. If you have a subscription, you don't have to pay anything to watch it. There you go.
When you say they're producing the show, you mean like, okay, in storyline, they are making the matches? Is that
yes.
It?
In storyline, they're making the matches. And in some cases, it's a legit, like the person who's listed as the producer of the show. Let's say it's Kenno. Kenno would sometimes, I don't know if he's doing it in this case, will book the matches. We'll book the, you know, like, oh, I'm going to face this guy. And Nakajima is going to face this guy. And these two guys are going to face these two guys in a tag team match. You know, so sometimes it's a legit, it's a shoot produce show, but sometimes they're just attaching their names to it. If it's an independent show, it's usually the person putting on the show under whose name it's being produced under is actually the booker of the show.
And to you, like in your experience, the results haven't been all that great?
No, a lot of them are just like dandy shows and they can be fun. Like it really depends. It's like, but who are you going to get to, you know, like this is all within Noah. So like you can do whatever you want. You can book it however you like. But like, you know, like I'm going to put on a produce show. I'm a low level, you know, I'm a mid level indie talent who doesn't work for New Japan or Big Japan or All Japan or whatever. Okay, I'm going to hire to be my opponent in the main event. I'm going to hire, you know, I'm going to ask DDT to send me, you know, Takeshita to be my opponent. Well, hey, can I go over Takeshita? No, because he's one of our fucking aces. You cannot go over him. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to hire somebody else who will let me go over them. You know what I mean? So things, right. Shit like that happens. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, as an idea, I think it sounds interesting to me. You know, the fact that John even put it in this rundown here suggests that it's garnered a certain level of buzz. And so I hate to bring it back to New Japan, but I look at this kind of litany of like these endless Korakuen Hall shows that have no identity whatsoever. Why not do a Bullet Club night? You know, why not do an LIJ produce show where they book all the matches and then, you know, maybe bring some other people from other promotions? Like, where is the creativity there? In some of these other promotions?
Oh, there's no creativity, like as far as like how New Japan books their schedule. But yeah, no, it's I think it's just a fun little one-off thing that they sometimes do. And it doesn't hurt the company. It's all in-house, as it were, within Noah. So sure, why not?
Over to Stardom, and we are on the verge of the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix. And WH Park, you have released a wonderful little primer up at postwrestling.com. If you just go to the search tab and type Stardom, or if you simply look for WH Park, you'll find all of his articles at the website right now. But you give us a great little recap of who is in this tournament, what the matches are, and really look what to look forward to. So please take the floor, WH, and maybe tell us a little bit about the five-star Grand Prix.
Yeah, so, you know, Stardom has two tournaments on its schedule, two singles tournaments on its schedule, you know, every year. One is the Cinderella tournament, which we just wrapped up. And usually that's a one-night, you know, single elimination tournament, but this year they decided to like have it over, you know, like I think 4 days this year, and they called the semifinals and the finals culminated at their last big show, I think Yokohama Budokan. And so this year is, and I, you know, the prime reason why I wrote this primer was because I really feel that this is going to be a special five-star Grand Prix. And the five-star Grand Prix is the Stardom equivalent to like New Japan's G1 Climax, to All Japan's Champion Carnival. It's where I think they're really going to push that idea, that kind of similarity to the, you know, how the G1 captures a lot of fans' attention. And really it was the G1 that was, you know, that was first broadcast in English. It's really the G1 that really, I think, captured a lot of, you know, Western fans' interest in the overall product of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so I think, you know, Stardom is going to probably try to do that with this year's five-star Grand Prix. And it's I'm very, very excited about it. It's going to draw, I'm just looking at my own article here. It's going to start soon, like July 31st. It's going to start from, you know, Yokohama Budokan, which is a great building. I'm so sad I never got to go to this building because it just recently opened up way. And that's something like, if we go back to Japan for wrestling, we should try to see a show here. But like it's divided into two blocks, the Red Stars and the Blue Stars. And I think each block has a multitude of intriguing matchups. And I looked at like the top five in each block that I was looking forward to. It might be different for other people, but that's fine. But even beyond those five, like I could probably name like at least, you know, seven or eight even in each block of matchups, like, oh my God, I want to see that. Like there might be blocks. Each block might have at least one person. Like I want to see every match that they have in this block because all the matches sound like they're going to be good.
And who are some of the standout participants people should keep their eye on?
Okay. So in Red Stars, we have Julia, we have Mayu Iwatani, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid. So our Starlight Kid forever has been like a baby face, right? And she's been like, oh, she's going to be one of our top liners in like 5 years time. She just recently turned heel and she's always been aligned as, you know, with Mayu Iwatani. And like recently she's joined Oedo Tai. She was forced to join Oedo Tai, but now she's embraced being a heel. And she's told Mayu, so Mayu actually won a 5-person gauntlet match. Inexplicably, she beat every other member of Oedo Tai, and she could take Kid back. And she said, come on back to Stars. That's her unit. And Starlight Kid said, no, I'm going to surpass you. You're a shit leader. Like, you know, Natsuko Tora is a way better leader than you. And she's going to teach me how to be your rival and beat you in the future and become this ace of this company. So I'm really intrigued about, they're going to have a match in this tournament way. And I'm really excited about that. Himeka, who's like a powerhouse, you know, type of wrestler. I'm interested. I've liked her work. Natsupoi, she's the current high speed champion. She's a great wrestler. And yeah, like those are the standouts for me in the Red Stars. Blue Stars is just unbelievable. First of all, you got the current World of Stardom champion, Utami Hayashishida. You have Shuri, the one half of the goddesses tag team champions with Julia. And she's also the SWA Undisputed World Women's Champion, which a belt I hate because it makes absolutely no sense to have this belt in Stardom. The only reason they have this belt, I think, was to give it to like somebody. I think it was to Toni Storm to keep her around because, oh, you know what? Toni Storm was going to be our another world champion that we have, but not the red belt champion, though she did end up winning the red belt. But anyways, so you got Shuri, you got Itami. You also have Tom Nakano. She's the current Wonder Starting champion. Then you have Saya Kamatani. She won the Cinderella tournament. You have Micah, who's a great wrestler, who's in Donna Del Mundo with Shuri, Julia, and Himeka. Azumi, she's like, you know, wait, Azumi is 18 years old. She's a 7-year veteran. Think about that. And she's one of the best wrestlers on this roster.
So that, So she is even younger than Julie Hart, who did, I don't know if you know who Julie Hart is, WH, but like she's the person in AEW that like John and I will use as basically like our way to denote time. Like, you know, history might use B before Christ and AD. We use like before Julie Hart and after Julie Hart, because Julie Hart is like something ridiculous, like 20 or something like that. And she's already like doing as much as she is. Maybe we should use before AZM instead, because as at 18 years old and being a 7-year veteran, that's really insane. Now, I've seen her live. She's tremendous.
Yeah, and she's just gotten better over the time that since we got to see her last in person. Konami. Love Konami, just an amazing, like, you know, striker and you know, ground wrestler and submission wrestler. I like, she has ties with Shuri, right? So you know Konami's story. So she was trained by Asuka, WWE's Asuka, right? Mm-hmm. When she was Kana in Japan, and then you know Kana said, you know what, I'm gonna WWE, I'm gonna America. Konami, you're living with me. Yeah, you're gonna have to get your own place now. And so at the same time, she's also like, you know, affiliated with Shuri, because like they're all wrestling on the same shows as freelancers and stuff like that. So she has a relationship with Shuri that goes back, and they had a match earlier this year, which was okay. I was a little disappointed with it, but like they're in the same block. I'm so excited. I think with the stakes of the 5-star Grand Prix on the line here, way like Konami and Shuri should have a banger of a match. I'm looking forward to that. It's one of the ones like that's really high on my list. And then, yeah, but the big name is Takumi Iroha. And she's the ex that was announced at the beginning of when they announced the participants of the 5-star Grand Prix. She's from the promotion called Marvelous. She used to be in Stardom, and then she left to join Chikisa Nagayo in Marvelous. And I don't know, there was this really fun press conference that Stardom had to talk about the 5-star Grand Prix, and Saya Kamatani, the reporters there asked her, who are you looking forward to facing? She's like listing off, oh, I'm excited to face Mayu Iwatani. I'm excited to face, you know, like, I know she's like, I'm excited to face Utami, her tag team partner, Shuri, Tam Nakano, and Takumi Iroha. But the thing was, Wei, Takumi Iroha was not revealed to be in this tournament at that time. So she outed it. And then you can see all the other Stardom wrestlers on stage start laughing, because they're like, oh, you fucked up. You just revealed the big secret. And she's saying this while Shuri is talking to her, like she's kind of doing a promo on her. And then Shuri just starts laughing. And then Julia's in the background. She starts laughing. They're all like, oh. And then Saya Kamitani, this is a great video on YouTube. You can go to Stardom's YouTube channel and find this. She's just, you know, she gets down on her hands and knees and starts begging for forgiveness. Oh, sumimasen, gomennasai. And they're just laughing at her. It's so funny. Anyways, Takumi Roth, hard hitting, you know, really excellent wrestler. She's the ace of Marvelous. I'm very, very excited to see her go up against pretty much everyone in her block. And it's interesting because she is, you know, from another company, she's the ace of Marvelous. Like politically, she can't eat too many losses. So it's going to be interesting to see who she gets wins over and how many she gets over, and like who gets to pin her actually as well. I got to think that, you know, what I would do is I would have her beat Utami, because then you can set up an automatic, you know, title match afterwards.
That sounds fascinating. You really got me hyped, especially for Takumi Iroha here. Of course, you know, the big match that I think everybody is looking forward to is the rematch between Utami Hayashishita and Shuri, which is definitely going to be taking place as part of this Blue Stars block. Any expectations for that, WH? What are your expectations?
For that particular match?
Yes.
I mean, the thing with, you know, Stardom recently is that they seem to be, you know, very enamored with time limit draws. So, and every match is, you know, they're one fall, and every match besides the finals has a 20-minute time limit, which I love. I'm glad we're not going to possibly get anything more than 20 minutes for each match. Yeah. And so like, I can see this going to, you know, a time limit draw, because I think the real money match is something that they're going to be advertising at least a month in advance. I think they could probably run, you know, Nippon Budokan with this, and you know, which is where they had their 10th anniversary show. I think you can draw a lot of money with this. And if you save it for after, you know, a fair number of people are vaccinated and you can open up the, you know, the capacity in buildings, then yeah, it makes no sense to just give it away like this. It makes no sense to have a clear cut winner is what I'm trying to say. Like, mm-hmm. I think they should go to another draw. And then you just build upon the foundation of their last title match. This, if it's a draw for the 5-star, and then you build up to a proper, you know, singles rematch for the title in a bigger building.
Are there any other matches that you wanted to put specific focus on?
So just going to say for Red Block, Julia versus Mayu versus Starlight Kid, Mayu versus Momo. So you can see like Mayu Iwatani is like kind of my, you know, MVP for this block. Momo Watanabe versus Starlight Kid and Starlight Kid versus Natsupoi, because they have excellent chemistry, being like really, you know, high flying, you know, high speed wrestlers. In blue block, Utami versus Shuri, obviously. Shuri versus Konami, as I said before. Konami versus Micah. Utami versus Takumi Iroha. And Shuri versus... And Takumi versus Shuri, I think, are just like going to be absolute bangers. And I'm so excited. What I'm most excited about is like, one of the reasons I wrote this primer way, because I want people to try to get to read this. And hopefully my enthusiasm for the tournament translates and people will want to check out this. Because I think if you give Stardom a chance, I think it's the best company out right now. It's my favorite company right now because it is such a consistently well-booked promotion, and that's so hard to find in any company in Japan, like consistently up and down the card. But I feel Stardom is one of those companies that is from start to finish, from the opening match to the main event, it's an easy watch, and because it makes everything make sense.
And remind people where they can find it, how they can sign up to Stardom World.
Yeah, just go to just type in Stardom World, and you can sign up and you just use machine translations of, you know, Google, whatever. And it's really easy to just sign up with your credit card. And hey, you know what? You sign up for the month. If you don't like it, you can cancel it. But
so none of these matches are going to be on Fight?
They haven't announced anything. I think they're kind of keeping that information close to the vest. I would imagine maybe they're going to see like how many people subscribe at first, but I gotta think like the finals have got to be something that they're going to put on pay-per-view, you know, with English commentary. Like one thing I do hope, like, and you know, that they do, and you know, is like get the English commentary, like for every card, you know, even if it's post, right. Even if everything's on World of Stardom on Stardom World. And like none of that's, they don't have the capability of live streaming yet. I think that's got to be something that they're gonna you know explore as an option on their Stardom World service. But you know, they can do everything post production. So why not get Sunny and Stuart Fulton, who does the NOAH English commentary as well. Why not get them to do your post production for every show, put up on Stardom World, even if it makes the show a little bit later. Okay, if you have that English commentary, I think that's such an investment and such a boon to expanding your fandom among the Western English speaking audience.
Coming off of that momentum, and I speak as a completely, you know, casual fan. I mean, English commentary is such a big barrier of entry that this is a huge opportunity for them to, you know, be able to capitalize on some of the buzz that Stardom is experiencing right now. And I really feel like English commentary is something that they should definitely invest in. And couple that with, you know, great coverage from people such as yourself, WH. So again, if you guys want to check out that primer, go to prowrestling.com. In the search field, just type in Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix Primer or simply WH Park, and you should find it yourself there. Last thing we want to get to on this show, Dragon Gate. Masato Yoshino's retirement is taking place on August 1st in Kobe after a 2-night festival. What are your thoughts on this, WH?
Yeah, it's, Masato Yoshino suffered an injury back in, I think, 2017, and he's been dealing with the lingering effects of that. And he decided, you know, like he's going to retire, and it's going to happen at the Kobe, pro wrestling festival. This year it's usually one day event. This year, it's a 2-day event, and the last night on August 1st is going to be his retirement ceremony. So I do have the card in front of me. I'm just going to run through each of the cards. So on the first night, which is on July 31st, and these are both going to be happening at Hyogo Kobe World Hall. You got to understand, Kobe World Festival, the wrestling festival, is every July, is like their version of WrestleMania. It's their version of Wrestle Kingdom. So this is they're following this trend of having their biggest event of the year fall over multiple days here. So on July 31st, there's a pre-show match. The 6-man tag team match is Kenichiro Arai, Yasushi Kanda, and Kunis taking on Super Shiza, Kono Mama, Ichikawa, and Sachiko Boy. These are all veterans of Dragon Gate. So if you've been watching for a long time, which I have on and off, all these names are familiar with you, to you. 6-man tag team match, Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, and Ryo Saito will take on BB Hulk, Kai, and Hio. 8-man tag team match, Takashi Yoshida, Yosuke Santa Maria, and Natural Vibes will take on Gamma, Ben Gay, Mandai Ryu, and Punch Tomonaga. Special singles match, Kota Minora versus Eita, and Open the Triangle Gate championship match. That's their trios title. The faction of Masquerade, represented by Dragon Dia, Jason Lee, and La Estrella will take on, and they're the champions, they're the Triangle Gate champions. They'll take on the challengers of Red, R.E.D., SB Kento, Diamante, and Dia Inferno. And Open the Brave Gate championship match, that's kind of their secondary singles title. Keisuke Okuda is the current Brave Gate champion. He will take on the challenger of veteran Genki Horiguchi. 10-man tag teams match. This is the Speedstar. That's Speedstar is Yoshino's nickname. A final countdown in Kobe. This is part of his retirement ceremony. Masato Yoshino, Shuji Kondo, Toru Owashi, Brother Yashi, and Takuya Sugawara. These were all members of Yoshino's first faction unit in the old Toriyama. That was the Italian Connection, which was led by Milano Collection AT. We'll take on Ultimo Dragon, Naruki Doi, and the unit high end of Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Kaga Tora. This is his second last match. And finally, there's going to be two more matches. Open the Twin Gate Championship match. R.E.D., the champions Kaito Ishida and Kazuma Sakamoto will take on the challengers Natural Vibes, Susumu Yokozuka, and King Shimizu. And finally, from the first night, Open the Dream Gate Championship match. Shun Skywalker, the current champion, will take on the challenger of KZ. And I'm going to say this. I haven't been watching too closely Dragon Gate, but if KZ does not win this, then I will riot, because I think KZ deserves to be the Dream Gate Championship. And finally, August 1st, again, Hyogo Kobe World Hall, Speedstar Final, Open the Brave Gate Championship. The winner from the previous night will take on Kaga Tora. Another Open the Triangle Gate Championship match. The winners from the previous night will take on Brother Yashi, Shuji Kondo, and Toru Owashi. Open the Twin Gate Championship match. The winners from the night before will take on the team of high end of Dragon Kid and Ben K. And finally, another Open the Dream Gate Championship match. The winner, whoever comes out of that KZ Shun Skywalker match, will take on the challenger of Yamato. So there's going to be every major title will be defended twice over these 2 days.
How long is that show? How many matches did you just announce right there?
Yeah, first night is I don't know, 8 or 10. It's going to be a long show. But the thing is, the next night, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And they're all championship matches, because I'm going to assume, that it's going to be the longest retirement ceremony ever. It's going to be very, very emotional, because Yoshino, you got to understand, he came from. From Toriyama. And then when Toriyama became Dragon Gate, he was one of the original roster members of Dragon Gate. He's been such a big part of Dragon Gate. He's made himself a legendary tag team with Naruki Doi as Speed Muscle. He's been multiple times, the Brave Gate champion. He's been, multiple times the Dream Gate champion. So it's a legend is retiring, not necessarily, I'm sure, under his ideal circumstances, because he has this lingering injury, but it's I'm glad that he's thinking about his health more than his career. So, and I'm sure he's got some position waiting for him in the Dragon Gate office. So I'm excited to watch this eventually. Because like I think Yoshino has been one of the best wrestlers in the last 20 years.
And how can people watch it if they wanted to?
You can watch it on their streaming service, Dragon Gate TV. I forget the exact name of it, but if you type in Dragon Gate, you know, you can find their streaming service, and I think it's available on there as well with English commentary. Usually Jay, who ran the Dragon Gate fan site for such a long time and did a lot of translations, he lives in Japan now, and rightfully so, he's gotten the gig, and he's really good at commentary for being like with having little to no training at it. He's really good. So every show, like, you get English commentary from Dragon Gate. So that's a big boon. And there's no better person to talk about Dragon Gate to, you know, Western listeners than Jay.
Mm. All right. Well, that wraps it up for my guest appearance here on Post Pro Rest. WH, thank you so much for having me. When can the people hear from you next?
Probably next week, I'm going to be recording the long and winding Royal Road with JP Houlihan of the Grapple Spotlight podcast, which I'm going to be a guest on there next Monday. So I'm going to be joining Benno, JP, and Gareth over in the UK, not literally, obviously. And I'm going to be talking about a lot of things, including Dynamite this week. Wait, I'm actually going to watch Dynamite. You know,
are you? Wow.
Okay. Apparently Grapple got the jump on you and John, because you have yet to have me on Rewind to Dynamite, but they're going to have me on Spotlight. And I told JP, I'm going to watch Dynamite and give you my hot thoughts about your favorite wrestler, Nick Gage, appearing on that show. And among other things,
I didn't know it was an option. If I knew it was, you would have been on Rewind to Dynamite a long time ago. But, you know, unfortunately, Ken Chan does not have a match tonight, but I'm sure you can comment on his appearance on last night's Dynamite either way. So the Long and Winding Road, check it out. And if you want to support the show and the work of WH Park, get the t-shirt at store.postwrestling.com. It is the hottest item going on right now in the professional wrestling world. Okay, forget about, like, well, what other shirt is there, okay? That's iconic right now. Nothing. Bullet Club, I mean, that's 2 years
done.
Ago.
Done.
This is the new Bullet Club shirt, everybody. It's the Long and Winding Royal Road shirt.
Wait, like, I'm going to reveal the names of people who've bought the shirt on you know, on the next Long and Winding Royal Road. But luminaries from Pro Wrestling Torch, from Grapple, from other podcasting networks are buying this t-shirt.
Influencers, dare I say it, WH, in the Japanese pro wrestling scene, in the wrestling podcasting scene in general. So yes, get on the cool train at store.postwrestling.com with the Long and Winding Road Royal Road t-shirt. John Pollock will be back here, presumably, if all is right in his world, tomorrow night for Rewind to SmackDown on the Post Wrestling Cafe, which is our Patreon. And then also, it'll be, again, if John Pollock is John will be back for both of these shows, I presume. But on Sunday, he and I will be going through Wrestle Grand Slam, the aforementioned Tokyo Dome show from New Japan Pro Wrestling, also on the Post Wrestling Cafe.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that show, to be honest with you. I just want to see what it's like. I hope it's good. I really, really hope it's good. But I'm looking forward to hearing you and John talk about it.
I want to see how they use the handcuffs. That's my number one curiosity. And if you want to hear more of me and WH, you have a whole archive of us talking about the MCU. Every single MCU Disney Plus TV show that's out there right now, between Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and WandaVision. As well, you, me, and John Pollock, the three of us were on together for MCU Later, talking about Black Widow. All of that can be found on our Patreon, postwrestlingcafe.com. So if you want to hear a bit more of that, go sign up, support the show, and I'm so used to saying until next time, WH, but
I'm sure you'll be back on this, you know, sometime in the in the future. Like I can see like something else coming up with John. Like, oh, I got a flat tire. I have to go to the garage. Wait, can you do the show for me?
I feel like a flat tire would be okay. So things have to be pretty bad for John to take the time off.
This is true. I think he and I are probably going to try to go back to an earlier in the month schedule, maybe. So maybe in a couple of weeks, me and John will be doing a show for everyone.
Okay. Well, we take them when we can, of course, here at Post Pro Wrestling. Until next time, WH.
MC, you later.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
No.
All right.